Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحبك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحبك يا نور الله. There are many blessings in reciting Durud-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam has said that the one who recites Durud-e Pak upon me once, how hard is it to recite it once? If you recite it once and it gets accepted, this is the condition. This is the condition. If you recite it once and it gets accepted, Allah azza wa jal will erase 80 years of your sins. Only once. But there's a condition, acceptance. Sallu ala al-Habib. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madhini Channel, in our life we strive to achieve a lot of things. You know, we try and achieve a certain amount of wealth, a certain amount of status, a certain amount of education, and we try to achieve all of these. And these are our goals in our life. But there's one thing that we've all been given that is the most valuable thing that we've got. Your wealth may come and go. You hear of businessmen, they go bankrupt one day, and then 2 years later, the millionaires again, and then they go bankrupt again. And this happens. You know, this happens with people. People even lose all of the families, and then they regain the families by, you know, getting married again and having children again, whatever it is. These things come and go. But your iman, your faith, is something that you need to value. You need to understand how valuable your iman is. And the successful person is he who dies with iman. He's not a successful person being a millionaire or a billionaire. That's not success. That's not success. The success is dying with iman. You know, a person who is physically strong. He's physically strong, he's physically healthy. But he doesn't have any heart, as they say. He doesn't have any iman. He doesn't have any taqwa inside him, he doesn't have any fear of Allah inside him, then that person, he will have no good qualities inside him. He may be healthy, he may be strong, but you won't say he'll have good qualities. Whereas another person, he may be weak, he may be ill, he may not be able to walk, but you'll see that he has a good, pure, honest, God-fearing heart. You'll say, this is a good person. You won't say that that person is good, that he can run a 4-minute mile. You'll say, this is a good person. So our iman is very, very important to us. But as Muslims, what we also need to know, in the same way that you know, nowadays we're all aware that, oh, if I eat these sort of foods, I'm going to get cholesterol. If I eat this sort of foods, I'm going to get sugar. If I eat this sort of thing, this is going to happen. And we're all aware of these things. We're all aware that people say, oh, don't eat too much of this, it'll cause cholesterol. Don't eat too much of this, it'll cause heart problems. Don't have too much sugar, it'll cause... And we're aware of all of these things. But are you aware of those things that can affect your iman to the extent... To the extent, and this is the most important point, that when you, the angel of death comes to you, that is the point in your life where your iman is at the greatest risk. That is the point in your life where shaitan will think, this is my last chance. He's lived 50 years, he's lived 60 years, he's lived 70 years, and I've been trying and trying and trying, but now this is my last chance. And you know to yourself, if you're, for example, doing anything in your life, and you realize this is your last chance to do it, this is your last chance to do it, you put as much effort as you can in. And Shaitan realizes that this is the last chance he's got. This person is dying now. This is the last chance he's got to take your iman away from you. So he will try everything. He will try everything at that moment. And there are certain things, in the same way we know about our physical health, there are certain things that if you do these things during your life, then when that time comes, when the angel of death comes to you, you run the risk of dying without iman. And people will say that this is a bad end. A person that dies without iman, this is a bad end to his life. But what are the causes of a bad end? You see people that all their lives, they appear to have lived a life of piety. But at the end of their life, we've heard events, and I'll mention some events now, where people at that crucial moment, they've lost their iman. There are four causes of a bad end. Number one, laziness in offering salah. Number two, consuming alcohol. Number three, disobedience to parents. Number four, causing harm to Muslims. If we look at them four, then many of us will fall into them traps. Number one, laziness in salah. You know, I remember sitting with someone one day and I asked them, there was no scholars there. You know, maybe there's a few scholars here. There was no scholars amongst them. And I said, look, if I was to ask you a question, that someone passes away, they have two sons, two daughters, they have a wife, they have two brothers and two sisters, what is the ratio of the inheritance? And I said, well, we don't know. We don't know the answer to that question. You know, we need to ask a scholar for that. And then someone said, okay, I'll ask a question now, and let's see if we all know the answer to this. And he said, how many of us know that salah is obligatory? And everyone said, yeah, we all know. So the question is if we all know it's obligatory, nobody will say, I didn't know that, brother. Nobody here today is going to come to me at the end of the ijtima and say, brother, you said that salah is fard upon us. I didn't know that. We all know that salah is fard upon us. So the question is why are we not reading it? This is our own problem that we are facing. This is a personal problem that we are facing. We make all sorts of excuses. My clothes, my time, my work, this and that. All these excuses. All these excuses that you make today, do you think they'll be valid on the Day of Judgment? You can make a fool out of me. You can say, oh, brother, I can't because of this, this, that. Okay, brother, okay. Do you think them excuses are going to be valid? Why do we find it so hard to perform our salah? Why do we find it so hard to perform our salah, but we can be on social media for 2 hours a day? Why do we find it so hard to perform our salah, but we can watch dramas for 2 hours a day? Why do we find it so hard to perform our salah, but we can't? We go spend time on other sorts of things. You know, some people say, I don't have time. I don't have time. The one thing that we all have is time. The richest person, the poorest person, the healthiest person, the weakest person, they all have 24 hours. Just because you're a millionaire, you don't get 30 hours in a day. Just because you're a poor person, you don't get 10 hours a day. We've all got the same amount of time. The question is how we utilize that time. And salah is something. Salah is something that we all know is obligatory. Nobody can say, I didn't know. But why? Why shaitan got that hold on us? You know, people have these meters, don't they? They have a thermometer that tests your temperature. You know, in your car, when you sit in your car and you start driving, there's a speedometer. It tells you how fast you're going. You know, within our deen, there's an imanometer. It measures your iman. And that's at Fajr. That Fajr salah measures your iman. Do you get up for Fajr? Do you read your Fajr? That is a test of your iman. And tomorrow morning, if you do not get up for Fajr, say to yourself that shaitan has won today. Shaitan is winning today. You'll all be here for Salatul Jummah. But were you here for Salatul Fajr? But coming back to the topic, laziness in our salah can cause us at that crucial moment in your life to die without iman. Number two, consuming alcohol. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that Muslims aren't amongst this, but there are now a growing trend within Muslims to start drinking alcohol as well. And not only that, to have alcohol-related products as well. It's something that we need to be very wary of. Number three is a serious one. Disobedient to our parents. Disobedient to our parents. You know, if you look at it, our deen is so beautiful that if we follow the teachings of Islam, even if you are not a religious person, even if you're not a pious person, you'll say that that is a good person. That is a good person. Why? Because he respects his elders. He respects his elders. He's kind, he's gentle, he doesn't swear, he doesn't cheat. He is a good, and this is what our deen teaches us. But how many of us are disobedient to our parents? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that your parents are your heaven and your parents are your hell, depending on how you deal with them. We're also told, you've all heard that beneath the feet of the mother is paradise. But have you also heard that the pleasure of the father is Allah's pleasure, the anger of the father is Allah's anger? What about these? This looking after our parents, respecting our parents, and nowadays we don't give them anything, we don't think about them any time. We don't even give them any time. The elders that are sitting here today, you ask them, what do they want? Do they want money? Do they want status? Do they want wealth? No, they want time. That's all they need. They're not asking for anything else, and we can't even give our elders that. We haven't got time to sit down with our elders, to give them time to talk to them. This is what the elders need. All their lives, they worked hard for us, struggled and strived for us, brought us to where we are today. I'm standing here today. I wasn't born like this. My parents brought me up and looked after me. We are the one creation of Allah, that when we are born, we are helpless. You know, many other animals, when they're born, straight away they're running, straight away they're jumping, straight away they're swimming, straight away they're flying. But not us, we are helpless. And it's our parents that looked after us at that time. It is our parents that fed us and cleaned us and washed us at that time. And now we disregard them. This is not what our deen teaches us. So if you are being disobedient to your parents, you pay the price. You will pay the price. If not in this world, you pay the price in the afterlife. You know, in modern day nowadays, you see you do, mom says, do this. This tutting. You know, why are you telling me to do this, mom? Why should I do this, mom? Tell someone else to do it. Why am I doing it? Why are you like this? And you know, another thing we hear amongst the youngsters nowadays is that I will only respect someone if they respect me. If they respect me, I will respect them. When it comes to your parents, mate, it doesn't wash like that. Yeah. Irrespective, you must respect them. Then you see the youngsters say, you know what? My parents, they were born in a different time. They were born in a village. They were born over there. They don't understand what I'm going through. Okay. They were born in a village. Okay. They're uneducated. Okay. They don't understand what you're going through. Still does not give you an excuse to disrespect them. No excuse. They might not understand anything you're going through. They cannot even probably understand the language or English. Whatever it is, does not give you an excuse to be disrespectful to them. So we need to be wary of this. And like I said, if you don't do this, you will pay the price. If not in this world, you'll pay the price in the afterlife. Causing harm to Muslims. Nowadays, we don't think anything of it. As you know, there's a saying in English, I'm all right, Jack, as long as I'm all right, I don't care what's happened. I want to achieve my goal. If I'm wrong the way, I push him out the way, I push him out the way, I knock him down, I push him down, I harm him, I don't care. As long as I'm successful. And this is something that as Muslims, we don't care about other people's feelings. We need to care about other people's feelings as well. About what our actions are having on them. Our mindset is as long as I get what I want. I don't care if I've hurt him. I don't care if I've hurt him. I don't care if I've abused him. And this not only happens with generally Muslims, but with our relatives as well. We don't care what our relatives feel. I've got what I want. I've done what I wanted to do. I don't care what they think. Let them think. Let them be hurt. It's not my life. It's my life, my rules. I only live once. Let me enjoy myself. So not only to other Muslims, but even to our relatives, we don't care. So we need to be aware of these things. These are a few simple things that I've mentioned. But the other thing that we need to be is we need to be honest with ourselves. You know, when you go and get your blood test, you get a blood test and the doctor gives you the results. And on them results, he'll give you your cholesterol level. And then he'll give you a range. You know, it's between this and this, your cholesterol's okay. If it's out to that, it's too high. And what happens is you take that advice. You look at it and you believe it. And you say, yes, my cholesterol's high. Yes, my sugar's low. Yes, my iron's this and that. And you'll do something about it. So the first thing is you don't say to the doctor, no, forget that report. I don't believe what you're saying. No, I don't want to listen to you. You don't do that. No, doctor, tell me. You'll ask the doctor, tell me. But when it comes to the diseases of our heart, when it comes to these other problems, no, there's nothing wrong with me. Yeah? And we ignore all these things. We need to be honest with ourselves. Am I lazy in my salah? Am I hurting the feelings of my parents? Am I hurting the harming of the Muslims? Because if you're not honest with yourself, you cannot cure yourself. In the same way, when you get the doctor's results and you just rip it up and say, forget it. You're not going to do that. You're going to take the advice of the doctor. So you need to be aware of the symptoms of these diseases that we're mentioning. And they're easy ones. How hard is it to find out whether you're lazy in your salah or not? Do you read it? Yes? Okay. If you don't, there's a problem. Simple. You don't need a doctor to come and do a blood test to you to find out whether you're lazy in your salah or not. Am I disrespectful to my parents? Are my parents happy with me? Are your parents happy with you? Causing harm to fellow Muslims. What do people think about me and you? What do your friends think about you? What do your colleagues think about you? What do your family think about you? And probably more importantly, what do your wives think about you? Are your wives happy with you? Are your spouses happy with you? Are your parents happy with you? Are your children happy with you? When you come home, do the children run out into the other rooms because they're scared of you? Does your spouse run into the kitchen because she's scared of you? You know, when you're in the home, they're all on tender hooks because they're scared of you. That's not what it should be like. Same with our relatives, same with our friends. Are they happy to see us? Are they glad to see us? Or are we created this fear factor inside people because of our power, our status, our money, and people are scared of us? That's not what our deen teaches us. So we need to be honest with ourselves. And if you are, these are a few illnesses that I've mentioned now. If as a result of any of them, you feel that you've been guilty about them, then you need to repent. You need to make a change. You need to make a change. You need to take the antidote. You need to make a change in your life. But at the same time, you need to repent. But there are conditions of repentance. Yeah. The time for, you know, you've missed Salatul Fajr. You get up and it's 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Ya Allah, forgive me for missing my Salatul Fajr. And then you go back to sleep. And you know you're going to miss Zuhr. Yeah. You have no intention of reading your Zuhr. Yeah, then you get up after 3, 4 o'clock. Zuhr's gone. Ya Allah, forgive me for Zuhr. And you go back to sleep again. Or you go to work again. And you know you're not going to read Asr. You know you're not going to read Maghrib. You come home at Maghrib and on purpose you go to sleep before Isha. So the conditions, there are conditions of repentance. You can't just keep on saying, Ya Allah, forgive me, Ya Allah, forgive me, Ya Allah. There are conditions. There are three conditions of repentance. Number one is admitting the sin. Unless you're honest with yourself, you can't repent. You need to be honest with yourself. I have committed this sin. Number two, you need to be ashamed of that. Oh, Ya Allah, first Fajr. Amen. You need to be ashamed of yourself, angry with you. How did this happen? Why did I do this? Why did I hurt his feeling? Why was I disrespectful for my parents? I know individuals that what happens is, at the end of the day, they contemplate on what they've done during the day, and then they think, you know what, maybe when I said that to my mother or my father, they might have taken it wrong. And maybe they're upset, so they'll go and seek forgiveness from them. Do we ever look back and think to ourselves, you know, have I hurt anybody's feelings? So the second is feeling shame, and the third one is the most important one, making a firm intention never to commit that sin again. Making a firm intention, a sincere intention. Now what happens as human beings, we commit sins, and we'll continue to commit sins, but if you make a sincere intention never to commit that sin again, then inshallah azza wa jal, your repentance will be accepted. But if you know, you go out on a Friday night, you have some alcohol, you have some weed, you're with your friends, you're up to no good, you come home, Ya Allah forgive me, and you know you're going out on Saturday night again. That's not going to work. Sincerely repent, never to commit that sin again. And when you sincerely repent to never commit that sin again, don't think Shaitan will continue. Shaitan will be on your case all the time. He'll always be there. But we need to be aware of this, but we need to sincerely repent. Sayyidina Fuzail bin Ayyad, radiallahu ta'ala, stated that he once visited one of his students who was on his deathbed. Sitting beside the student that was dying, he began to recite Surah Yasin. But the student said to him, stop reciting Surah Yasin. So Sayyidina Fuzail bin Ayyad, he started to recite the kalma. You know what, before, I just want to stop here. If someone's at that time, if you know someone is close to death, then don't tell them to read the kalma. Don't tell them to recite the kalma. You just recite the kalma. They'll hear you. Because they could be in all sorts of pains at that time. So if you say, read the kalma, read the kalma, read the kalma, and they're going, you know, they might say something wrong at that time. So just remind them of the kalma. Yeah? So he started reminding them of the kalma. But that student of his, he said to his teacher, I will never recite this kalma, and I have nothing to do with this. Saying these words, he passed away and died. Now Sayyidina Fuzail bin Ayyad, he was very upset because this was one of his best students. This was one of his best students. And so for 40 days he was upset that how is it possible that my student died in this state? And after 40 years he saw him in a dream. And in the dream he saw his student being dragged to the hellfire. And he said to his student that you were one of my best students. You were one of my best students. How did this happen? And the student replied, it was because of three bad habits. The first is, I used to tell tales. I used to tell one thing to my friends, but something else to you. The second was jealousy. I was jealous of people. And the third is, I used to drink alcohol. On the advice of a doctor, I used to drink a glass of alcohol every year. Just one glass of alcohol every year. On the advice of a doctor. But the two things that he mentioned there, telling tales and jealousy. And nowadays, we don't think anything of it. You know, we're sitting in a gathering with people, unless we gossip, unless we backbite, we've got nothing to say. And what happens is, you'll sit in a gathering and people start backbiting, people start gossiping, and you're sitting there thinking, I've got nothing to say here. I need to think of something. So you'll think of something and you'll exaggerate it, you'll gossip it, you'll spread rumors about someone, you'll spread a suspicion about someone, you'll be backbiting about someone. Now all of a sudden you're committing these sins. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you attend a gathering, and in that gathering the zikr of Allah doesn't take place, and in that gathering Durood-e Paak doesn't take place, then that gathering can become a burden for you. And on the day of judgment, it is up to Allah Azza wa Jalla whether you are punished for that gathering or you're forgiven for that gathering. Because if you're in a gathering and the zikr of Allah is not taking place, if you're in a gathering and you're not remembering the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are you talking about? And when you do start talking about things, you look, think to yourself, next time you're sat in with people, with your friends, with your family, you'll start backbiting, you'll start gossiping, you'll start doing all these things. You'll start talking about people behind the wall, you'll start slandering them. You're in that gathering, and what you don't realize is you're creating a huge burden of sins. So telling tales is something that we need to be wary of. Hasad, jealousy. Nowadays within the Muslim community, we're very jealous of each other. Why has he got this? Why has he got that? Why has he achieved this? Why has he achieved that? And what happens is we try and do things to harm each other, our fellow Muslim brothers. Again, we're not happy when our Muslims are successful. Nowadays, if our Muslims are successful, we think something's dodgy here. Something's wrong here. We have this suspicion inside ourselves. Nowadays, if you see someone driving, a young lad, 24, 25, 26, for argument's sake, he's driving a new car, a sports car. He drives past the masjid. He must be doing something dodgy. Yeah, straight away, he must be up to something dodgy. Yeah, I know what he's up to. You don't know. You got no confirmation of it. But you've now done an evil assumption on that person. You've now evilly assumed that person. I remember once reading, there was a paper written about this, an article written on this. And it was specifically about the Asian youth. And it said that a lot of these Asian youth, they're driving big cars, fast cars, sports cars, and they're spending money on the stereos and this and that. And in the interview, the youngsters were asked, that how is it possible you can, you know, buy these cars? And the majority of them said, they said, you know what, we live at home. We live with our mum and dad. We make £500-600 a week. We give mum and dad £50, we've got £500 left. So we spend it on ourselves. So maybe that's true. Maybe they do spend it on themselves and enjoy themselves. There's nothing harmful in that. But what happens is, as soon as we see it, we think something's dodgy there. So never, you know, and people, I remember Nigrani Shura saying beautifully once that if you make an evil assumption about someone, you do bad go money about someone, what have you achieved? What have you achieved? Nothing. But I'll tell you what you have achieved. You've possibly achieved the sin of slander. You've possibly achieved the sin of backbiting. You've possibly achieved the sin of gossiping. Now, if you have a good opinion about someone, and you think, yeah, mashallah, good on him, he's done well, mashallah, yeah. Now again, what you've achieved and what you've lost? You've achieved nothing. You've achieved, okay, you've praised that person. The only loss that you will have, I'll tell you, there is a loss. That when you say, oh, mashallah, he's done a good job, mashallah, he's worked hard for that car, he's worked hard for that house, and you don't have an evil assumption, there is a small loss. And that loss, people will say, oh, what a stupid person. Does he think, you know, how stupid is he? Do you not realize? Yeah? People will think you're dumb. People will think you're silly. Well, let them think you're dumb. Let them think you're silly. So what? What's wrong with that? Always have a positive opinion about someone. I remember a friend of mine. I've known him since I was the age of 10. And at that young age, he said to me, "Bhai, one day I want to have a Land Cruiser. One day I want to have a Land Cruiser." He had this mission in his life to have a Land Cruiser. And he worked on the markets. He was working day and night. There was, you know, the 80s and the 90s, people were going for markets 7, 8, 9 days before they came home. And eventually he got a Land Cruiser. And when he got the Land Cruiser, I went and, give him a barak. But I know there were people even then. He must be up to something dodgy. I knew he'd worked hard, so hard, 7 days a week to get that. But even then, people say, no, must be up to something dodgy. Yeah, be positive about people. What are you gaining by being negative about people? What are you giving by having evil assumption about people? And all of these things, this jealousy, this hasad, this evil presumptions, all of these can cause you to lose your iman. Ultimately, you will lose. Ultimately, you will lose. And this is why you see the pious people of the past, they would speak little. They would think more and speak little. Nowadays, we speak more and think little. We don't think about what we're saying. And as a result of our speech, we are creating a whole burden of sins. So we need to be aware of this. So there's telling tales and jealousy. You know, there was a time as well that in the streets of Medina, a person came into a shop. And he went into the shop to buy some material. And he said to the shop owner, I want this material, I want this amount of quantity, this amount of quality, and I want to give this material in the way of Allah. And the shopkeeper turned around to him and said, look, I have that material. I have that quality that you want. I have that quantity that you want. And I can give you at that price. But my dear brother, please, opposite my shop, there's another cloth shop. I've been looking at him all day. He's not had any customers. Kindly go there and buy it from there. Now, I'm not saying to you that if you have a shop to send your customers to elsewhere, I'm not saying you have to do that. But if, for example, someone comes into your shop, you're selling mobile phones, and you show them the mobile phone, and he goes, yeah, okay, then you know what? Yeah, I like that, but I'll just go and have a look at that shop down there. How do we react then? So many times people, no, don't go to him. Oh, no, he sells stolen goods. Don't go to him. People have bought phones up, and then 2 days later, they fall broken apart. Don't go to him. So many people have... Now, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? You're slandering that person. You're gossiping about that person. You're backbiting about that person. What for? A few pennies? What is in your kismet you will get? If it is in your luck to become a millionaire, you'll become a millionaire. It's up to you whether you want to become a millionaire through halal means or through haram means. And if it is not in your luck to become a millionaire, you'll not become a millionaire. Irrespective of whatever haram you do or whatever halal you do. Your risk is written for you. You're running after that which is written for you. The thing that is in doubt is your iman. You need to protect your iman. When I came here, I parked my car at the side. The first thing I did when I got out, I was on the phone, but as soon as I got out, what was that did? I locked the car. I locked the car. When you did that, you all lock your cars, you all lock your houses. Why? Because you do not want your car to be stolen. You don't want people to break into your house. So you protect your car, you protect your house. What are you doing to protect your iman? Have you locked your iman? Have you aware of people? You know, people think that people can get in through the windows, so we lock the windows. People can get in through the doors, so we lock the doors. We're aware of all the ways that people can steal our cars and steal our houses, so we protect ourselves. Are we aware of all the ways that our iman can be stolen, and what are we doing to protect our iman? You're in this country, they say that you can't get an insurance policy unless you've got 5 lever locks. Yeah. Islam gives us the 5 lever locks, the 5 daily prayers. Yeah. And they say that if you want a better insurance policy, 7 lever, 9 lever. We'll give you 7 lever, 9 lever. Tahajjud, chaat, ishraq, all of these things. All of these things are there to protect your iman. The Quran is there to protect your iman. Coming to the masjid is there to protect your iman. Spending in the way of Allah is there to protect your iman. All of these things are there to protect your knowledge. Is there to protect your iman. We all know how to fill in an insurance claim. We all know how to fill in a visa application. We all know how to fill in a form for a passport. We all know how to get income support and child benefit. Do we all know how to read the Quran? Do we all know how to pray our salah? Do we all know the fundamentals of what is required to perform our salah? What do we need to do? Do we know these things? Yes, brother, I know. I learnt it 30 years ago. Yes, brother, I know. I learnt it 20 years ago when I was a kid in the masjid. I've mentioned it before on Madri Channel, and I'm sure I've mentioned it here before. All of you have cars. A lot of you have cars. Do you not get your car serviced? Why do you service your car? Why do you service your car? Because you want to make sure that your car's okay. What about servicing your Quran? What about servicing your wuzu? What about servicing your salah? Do you ever get that checked? You'll get your car checked. I'm very proud of your soap. I've got a service history. My car's got a full service history. I've got it serviced every 10,000 miles from a dealer. I've got this and then you're very proud of it. Has your Quran got a service history? Has your salah got a service history? Has your wuzu got a service history? These are all the things that we don't think about because we don't value. We value that car because we know if we have a service history, it'll have a good resale value. Yeah? I'll make sure I look after that car. So when I come to sell it, I'll get good money for it. But when you come to die, will your iman be there? not bothered again. And these are the things that we need to be wary of. Another thing, and I'm sure I've mentioned it here before in Bolton, there may be many people here in the UK that are here in Fazana Madina Bolton or watching on Mother Channel, that Hajj has become farz upon you. Now I know it is expensive, but it's become farz upon you because you can afford it. If Hajj is £9,000, £8,000, it's farz upon you because you can afford £8,000, £9,000. And people are delaying it. Oh, it's too hot now, I'll wait until it's in the winter. Oh, it's too hot now, and I'll wait until it's a bit cooler. If it's farz upon you, do it as soon as possible. How many of us that are here today that Hajj is farz upon us, we will not perform the Hajj? I make a humble request. If Hajj is farz upon you, if Hajj is farz upon you, make an intention right now. Make an intention right now. Yes, you may feel, oh, am I going to afford £9,000? £9,000 is really expensive. How am I going to pay all this money? But this, if it's obligatory upon you, then pay it. Spend it, and that burden is then off you. And more importantly, it protects your iman. Your iman is protected. So we need to be very wary of these things. These are very few things that you need to be aware of, but these are many, many things that we need to implement in our lives to be able to protect our iman. There's another one that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said with regards to replying to the azan and the person that performs the azan. Replying to the azan is also very important. That if you do not reply to the azan, then that is another thing that can cause you to lose your iman at that important time. So these are a few things that we've mentioned today. But if you constantly keep on watching Mother Channel, keep on coming to the weekly Ijtima, learn these things. As I said to you earlier on, we know all the other things in our life. We know how to live our life in many different spheres, but do we know those things to protect our iman? So I advise you all to get that farz ulum, that obligatory knowledge upon you. You know, keep on hearing this term, farz ulum, farz ulum, farz ulum. What is it? When you come to a certain age and it's obligatory upon you to perform your salah, you need to have the knowledge of salah. When it comes to a certain age and it's obligatory upon you to fast, you need to have the knowledge of fasting. Everybody's keen on getting married nowadays, but do you know the knowledge and rulings of marriage? Do you know how your roles and responsibilities? Everybody knows nowadays what my rights are, that he's got to do this for me, he's got to do this for me, he's got to... Do I know what I've got to do? And people say, well, he's not fulfilling my rights. Forget what they're doing, fulfill your rights. And as Muslims, it's very important on us that we fulfill our rights. Do you not want Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive you? Allah is the most forgiving. Nowadays, we hold grudges against each other. Nowadays, we fall out with each other. We don't fulfill the rights of our relatives. If you are in a position to help your relatives, help them. If your relatives come to you for help, you should not have this mindset that, oh, I came to you loads of time. You never helped me. You never helped me. Why should I help you? What is this? If Allah Azza wa Jalla blesses you with an opportunity to gain reward, then don't turn it down. Think of it as that way, positively. If that person comes to you to offer you money, you're not going to turn him away. Oh, well, you never came to me before. Why are you coming with money for me now? You're never going to say that. So fulfill the rights of others. Forget what they're supposed to do for you. Do what they need to be done. Your neighbors, your relatives, your parents, your children, your brothers, your sisters. Be aware of this, and we need to gain that knowledge. That knowledge is important upon us so that we can fulfill them rights. And unfortunately, as Muslims now, we're not fulfilling rights. We want everybody to look after me. We want everybody to do that what's supposed to be to me. But I'm not going to do anything. Why? Because I'm the king. I'm the strongest. I'm the wealthiest. I'm this. I'm that. But remember who you are. And as Muslims, we are born to die. Remember that. What are we born to do? Are we born to be politicians? Are we born to be businessmen? No. We are born to die. And in the same way that that person, he spent 70 years of his life getting ready for that time to become a king, we should spend all our time getting ready to die. Because that he could become the king at 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. He became a king at 70. We can die at 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. There's no guarantee we're going to live to 70 or 80. So we need to be prepared for that time. Because that time will come. You will die. Are you ready for that? Here in this country, we see the graves are ready. The graves are dug. Many people, they go on Umrah, they go on Hajj, and they take the coffin, they wash it in Zamzam. Your grave is ready. One of them graves, you know, these, if you go to the graveyard here in Bolton, the new graveyard, but you're walking across grass before you come to the graves. That grass that you're walking on, that's going to be graves in the future. That grass that you're walking on could be your grave in the future. The graves are ready, your kuffar is ready, are you ready? So please, attach yourself to your deen to rectify yourself. Remember this, the masjid is not a hotel for pious people. The masjid is a hospital for sinners. It is a place you come to rectify yourself. It is a place you come to put yourself in the court of Allah. It is a place you come to repent in the court of Allah. Attach yourself to the masjid. Attach yourself to the Quran. Attach yourself to the masjid. And improve yourself. Improve yourself by acquiring the knowledge of the deen. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, that Allah give me and you the ability to perform those acts that enable us to protect our iman and die with iman. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that all the people that are here today and all the people that are watching this program, that Allah enable us all to die with iman. And on our lips is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Mubalik for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Stay, O Mubalik, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Stay.